going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back. We are ready to go here.
Yeah, we had a week off. It was tough, man, you know, but, you know, happy Memorial Day to everybody. Hope you guys had a Memorial Day, great weekend there. We had to actually take a whole week off for it to recuperate maybe from it, but it was cool. It was a cool little vacation away from it all, but we're back, ready to go. Joe, I have to admit, age is catching up with me. I'm a bit sore right now. I just got done playing outside with my kids, and I pulled something. I'm at that age right now, so I might have to take an ice bath after this.
I think you might be doing a little bit better than Trayvon Diggs because he decided not to go to his OTAs and thus basically forfeited $500,000 of his bonus. Mm-hmm. So I think you're doing a little bit better than him.
Yeah, I would suck it up. I would put myself on some kind of painkillers to make it there. Dude, to show up for that money. Right.
I'd wheel in a wheelchair just to show up. You kidding me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Joe. So I'm excited to be back. Not a whole lot going on in the NFL right now, but we're going to go through a couple different things. Let's get right into it, Joe. But first we do tell everybody where you can find more episodes like us here at Grumblings Media.
Just head over to the channel. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you can over at Grumblings Media. One-stop shop. If you're looking for one channel to go to cover all the needs that you could possibly have in the podcast world, that's the place to go. We cover all the sports. We cover political. We cover entertainment. So we even got our boy Hody on the channel who covers video games. So boom. All you gamers out there, make sure you check all that out too.
Boom. So,
great place. And just go over there. Any comment that you guys could possibly make that to help also helps the show. We are live right now, so. Definitely pour in the comments, ask some questions. Even if you want to give your opinion, we'll read it out there for everyone to hear.
All right, Joe, let's get right into it. Something controversial. So definitely you guys jump in, whether you agree or you don't. We want to see it in the comments. So here we go. We're going to be talking about top five quarterback rankings, something that everybody likes to talk about. God. And it came up recently, too, a couple of friends of mine, again, and somebody had posted something online. And, again, this went viral about certain people making the top five. So I thought it would be a fun kind of debate. And I question it sometimes. I know you and I never really talk about, like, hey, you know, it's what your flavor is, what you like, you know, blah, blah, what you consider. Just like when we talk about greatest of all time or your Mount Rushmores.
Honestly, like, I mean, you already know my point of view on all time. There's no such thing.
Right.
But there has to, when you just say top five, it can't be, like, fan-based. Like, oh, I love Josh Allen, so that's why he's in my top five.
Right.
No. I love Lamar Jackson. That's why he's up. It has to have some kind of basis of information, data, like statistics, to kind of back up your claim.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is where you can kind of get the best general top five, top ten, whatever you want to do. So that's kind of like when I did my top five, that's kind of like what I'm going through. I'm actually looking at some of the statistics that recently – very recently were obtained and go from there and then kind of go with the quarterback after that. Like stats are fun, but quarterbacks need to have all the other abilities that they're
that's
required.
Right. And they're not all telling, right, Joe?
Correct.
All right. So here we go. Let's get to it. I'll do mine first for me number one, this was even tough cause I had a few different ones here and then swapped them out, but and again, this might be cliche for a lot of people, but I'm going with Patrick Mahomes again, just because, again, if you look at his career, and I know even recently too, you brought up a recent stuff, but even on a down year last year, still almost 4,000 yards, 67% completion percentage with a team that really seemed like they just weren't behind them here, you know what I mean? And he was doing a whole lot on his own to where he turned the ball a little bit more, over a little bit more. But still playing at a high level. And overall, when you look at this guy, too, when you look at top-tier quarterbacks, his name is absolutely there. He led the Chiefs to 7 consecutive AFC Championship game appearances, 5 Super Bowl appearances, and, of course, we know the wins here, too, just coming up short last season. But Patrick Mahomes, my number one. And, again, it wasn't just because I was just like, hey, Patrick Mahomes, he's an automatic number one. But some of the stuff just backs it up. Joe, what do you think?
Some might say, I will say the majority of the NFL would agree with you that Patrick Mahomes is number one.
Mm-hmm.
I would push back just a little bit because I've from watching other quarterbacks in the league versus Mahomes. Now, don't get me wrong. Mahomes is a very, very good quarterback in the league. Not trying to take anything away from him. The only thing that I've noticed in the last couple of years, like this past year was his worst year by far as a quarterback. And, you know, in like touchdown interception ratio categories and even just game to game play, like he wasn't crisp. He wasn't his best. This particular last season that he had. Beyond that, it's insane what he was able to accomplish and the stats that he racked up and everything. But I will say, after the last couple of seasons, like even the more successful season before this in 24 and 23, had a decent year. And then 24 kind of all came crumbling down. And people are going to point fingers and say, oh, well, it's because he didn't have Rashee Rice. It's because he didn't have all his guys. He didn't have Hollywood Brown. Like people are going to like just say that. But I think more times than not, it's really because we actually witnessed in 24 that Mahomes just didn't execute well. Now, everybody isn't going to play at as high a level as he did when he came into the league and has for several years strung them along. This year or this past year was his worst year yet. He struggled throughout it, and it is what it is. I still don't think he's definitely not a bad quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. But I don't put him in that elite level that most people do because I've watched him play through his good and bad. But I've seen some things that it's like, man, why wasn't he able to make that throw? You know what I mean? Like some of the throws mm-hmm. that we've seen him make and some of the plays that he's created out of thin air. And we're like, damn. Like, but then there's other times where he tries to do too much and it costs him. So, quarterback play, I feel like this year, this in 24 and in 23, a little bit in 23, not as much, but 23 and 24, he's not falling down the hill or by any means, but he's showing some, you know, weaknesses in his play. So we'll see if that continues in 25. It looks like he should have a bounce back year, I would mm-hmm. assume. Getting back a guy like Rashee Rice is going to be a huge boost to right. the offense. So, we'll see.
And I can't knock you for that even too, because again, if you look at flaw, and I think of quarterbacks when I was ranking this too, like, maybe you're only as good as your biggest flaw, you know, almost like your mm-hmm. weakest link. You're only as good as your weakest link. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was kind of great at some of these guys too. And really, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he has a tendency to force plays that make him more exciting or whatever, like trusting in his skill set, and sometimes leads to turnovers or missed opportunities. Well, they make the highlight reels and stuff. That's fine and everything, but it results in the mistakes that hurt his team. And his Achilles heel, I guess, too, is that not always taking the easy option, not trusting his receivers in his line to execute. There will be time where he has protection, and then he escapes the pocket for no reason, tries to do something on his own.
I would say there's a little bit of a reason for that in 24 because he didn't have tackles, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, Juwan Taylor on the right side, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
They paid him a lot of money to not block, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. And get an enormous amount of penalties. So they still haven't figured how to help him. And also on the left side, they yet again go in the draft and hoping that they find their rock solid China wall of a left tackle in Josh Simmons, hoping he pans out, hoping mm-hmm. he can be healthy. So again, throwing the dart at the board, hoping mm-hmm. that it sticks. We'll see if it does, and we'll see how much better the Chiefs actually can get this year.
Yeah. So who do you have as your number one?
So when I was looking at quarterbacks, I did look at Patrick Mahomes first. Obviously, I was looking at his stats and everything. And even though he had a down year, I was like, well, you know, he's still a really good player. But my number one, honestly, is going to be not Josh Patrick Mahomes, but Joe Burrow for the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm. And mm-hmm. this is a guy who you can ding him. Hey, I understand. You can be like, well, he hasn't been the healthiest recently, but I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
When this guy is healthy, you can't deny him. You know, just this past season, healthy, you know, all year, played all 17 games, started all 17 games, damn near had 5,000 passing yards. He led the league in passing yards, led the league in touchdowns thrown. And by the way, only had 9 interceptions. I mean, 70%. 76% completion percentage.
I get
the argument too that, well, he has Jamar Chase and he has T. Higgins. Okay, fine. But he still has to make all the throws. He still has to go through the progressions. He still has to worry about his offensive line, which isn't that great yet. They're still hoping to iron that out. But in the meantime, this dude is racking up numbers. This guy is literally, when he's healthy, in my opinion, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. So he is my number one.
Yeah, and I get that. And then when I told you I talked about making this list, I had Joe Burrow there. Yeah, because, again, if you look at everything altogether as a whole, his stat line is ridiculous. It's almost video game stat in a sense.
Yeah.
And that's why I started to look at this too, and then everybody's stats even from last year. And now I've come to the conclusion that – it was, I know nothing against Josh Allen, but it was a damn shame that Joe Burrow didn't get like MVP. And, you know, Lamar's stats look pretty good too, and he played well too, and he's had it multiple times. But Joe Burrow, again, just if it wasn't coming back from the injury for the year prior, I'm like, dude, his stat line from last year and what he means even to that team, the Cincinnati Bengals, is everything. You know, it's one thing bringing his weapons in and, you know, say, hey, let's re-sign everybody. Let's bring all the group back together, which now they did. So that's even scary. But if you count out the 2 seasons that he had been injured, and even that year, those years that he was injured, trajectory was very good as well. If hadn't been injured, again, his stats are astronomical. And over 100, you know, plus in a QBR ratings on top of everything, but always more touchdowns by a lot compared to interceptions. Again, and maybe the only knock is what it's not exactly even on mine, but from other people out there in inner circles, is they look at his deep ball accuracy and it kind of be inconsistent a little bit. Doesn't have some of the arm strength as some of these other top tier quarterbacks, but that really doesn't bother me at all. You know what I mean? What he's had to deal with, when you think about durability and injuries, it's because he's getting sacked 40-plus times every season. Mm-hmm. Still, even though they invest in money to try and fix that offensive line, he's taking a beating out there and still performing at an elite level. And this is why, again, he was there. He's like number 1A, you know, this is Mahomes, him, A, B, because he was there for me. But, again, I counted some of the championships as well. And what he has kind of done for that team. So that kind of just gave him the nod, I guess, as well, because Mahomes' stats, too, astronomical. And you see the talent out there. Joe Burrow, exactly, too, as well. You see the talent examining the field and also that field general type of mentality to be able to read the plays, you know what the defense is doing in front of you as well. And I think he excels at that. So I don't disagree with Joe Burrow being number one, and he's actually my number two.
Yeah. And I feel like our lists are going to be a little bit different anyways, because you might be viewing it a little bit differently than I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not looking at careers. I'm looking at recent, like, performance. So like maybe the last.
No, yeah, which I look at that too. You know, I'm kind of taking all encompassing too as well on top of it.
So that's why I think we might kind of differ from maybe even one or two type of quarterbacks where we have.
Yep. So who do you have as number two then?
Number two, this one was tough for me because number one was easy. I feel like Joe Burrow was like a layup. But number two, everybody consensus-wise will tell you Josh Allen is number one or number two. He's top two. But I don't think so, at least not yet. We'll see what happens in 25. Maybe he can change my mind a little bit more, but I think he's an excellent quarterback, no doubt about it. But I'm going to go with a little bit of a surprising quarterback, that doesn't get a lot of love, but at the same time, the last couple of years has been lighting the league up. And that's Jared Goff from the Detroit Lions.
What?
This dude averages above 70%. He had last year 72.4% completion percentage, had 4,600 passing yards, had 37 TDs to his 12 interceptions. I mean, the guy has definitely been the man in Detroit, a quarterback that they've been waiting for. They had Stafford, and they were cool with Stafford. They would have loved for him to stay, but the fact of the matter was they wanted to get younger. They didn't want to have to, like, maybe force a draft pick to supplant Stafford if that day ever came. So they made the trade. They get Jared Goff. And Jared Goff, ever since he's been in Detroit, has been lighting it up. A guy who's been very sophisticated with where he throws the football. He's worked extremely well with Ben Johnson. I know he's not in Detroit anymore, and it will be a test to see this year, not having those coordinators for the Detroit Lions, how much of an effect that's going to take. There's going to be a little bit different of an offense. It's still going to be the same because they didn't hire someone from the outside in. But I think up to this point, with the last couple of years going on, Jared Goff has made his name known, and we've seen him. The last couple of years has been really kind of helping lead this offense for the Detroit Lions, as putting up great numbers. Guy who kind of got dogged in 23 for MVP race, was never even talked about. Mm-hmm. And then this past year, again, nobody really bringing up his name too much, but Jared Goff to me is going to be my number two.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't blame you. I mean, he's hot right now. He's been playing really well. I think even last year it was like took forever finally for him to have an incomplete pass. And I remember even Tom Brady within the broadcast saying this is astronomical what he's doing. And overall, even throughout his career, he's kind of one of those silent guys that if you look at it and even stat-wise throughout his career, solid. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can't argue with it, even though, again, people dogged him in you know, L.A. for some reason. He never really got the respect he deserved there just being under Sean McVay. I think if Matthew Stafford didn't have the career he had early on in Detroit before he gets to the Rams, he would probably have that same conversation. But Matthew Stafford already came with a reputation of toughness and performing. I think he was one of the top quarterbacks.
Really?
Hit 10,000 yards first within 3 years or something. But Jared Goff, I don't blame you. I considered him for my top five. And again, the stats don't lie. He's there, and you see it within the game. One knock, I would say, again, playoffs, you know, a little rough, you know, last season especially. I had a down playoff year. And some people, when we talk about top five quarterbacks, I know the argument always comes up as, well, hey, he's got weapons around him. He's got that. He's got this. Anybody can win with that, or you can do this with that. And I think that's where Jared Goff lies in with some people. But again, I think eye test on top of some things too. I think he's excelled, and he's considered for a top five. I do not have him at number two though. That's very intriguing. And a lot of people have, I've seen lists, especially even coming off of last season. People would even name that last season he was, you know, top five or top two quarterbacks there. So surprising that you have a number two, but also at the same time, not exactly surprised. Playing at a high level. All right, so next I've got...
You got to give us your number two guy.
Well, my number two is Joe Burrow. He was right there. So he's basically Patrick Mahomes, like I said, was number one. And then their 1A is Joe Burrow. So number three, I have Lamar Jackson. And I hated to do this here too, but I mean, I'm looking at everything. And again, I've had my things where I've said stuff about at Lamar and what, you know, he hasn't done, where he's failed, his shortcomings. I understand the athleticism, what he brings to the table, not only with his legs, but also, talent, well, you know, that he can kind of dish it off. Yeah. So it just, you know, athleticism. But his biggest flaw is his inconsistency, particularly in the playoffs, you know, again, high pressure situations. And he's even said that himself, he gets antsy and kind of in the playoffs. And when it's time to step up, he gets a little nervous there. And that's where he kind of drew downwards a little bit on the list here for me. But again, force to be reckoned with a different style of quarterback play. And it's funny, again, because you and I have talked about this, skill in throwing the ball. It's got to be a quarterback trait. And I think he's gotten better. Still not even, you know, I guess up there with Mahomes and Burrow. But I don't think I really can deny him what he's been able to do, especially with some of his accuracy that he's had as of late. And throwing under pressure, he's actually there and up in the top rankings too as well. Overall, again, with a career that he's had too, and I kind of encompass the career, and with the multiple MVP wins and even last year's stats, passing yards and rushing yards on top of everything, he could have been MVP again, Joe. I mean, it was just nasty, no matter what you think of him. So I had to give him where credit was due. I put him at number three.
Yeah, like for a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's a very special player.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. Is like everybody, like, you know, the whole like name, he's the running quarterback. He can't stand that
right.
term that people use on him. He goes, I want to be known as a quarterback. And he does play the position, quarterback. But people will label you and give you a nickname based on how you play. And who cares? Like, honestly, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm embracing that. You want to call me a running quarterback? Okay. Call me a running quarterback that's going to win 2-3 Super Bowls. Like, when that day comes, all right. But you know what? Call me a running quarterback. But guess what? I won. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the bottom line. But it does bother Lamar. His ego does take a hit. And he keeps hearing it from different, you know, sources of media. Oh, well, you run the ball a lot, and that's why you're successful. And then defenses play up, and then you're able to throw over the top and you know, make them look bad. But here's the thing. Who cares how you do it? Like, honestly, like, if Lamar Jackson should, just forget about it. Who cares what they call you? Even if they call you a running back that throws the ball, who cares? Just make plays. Continue to win games, go win a championship or two or three or whatever you end up with at the end of your career, and prove everybody wrong. But I will say this, as much as, and I'm a fan of Lamar's, but I'm also not. I don't like all of his game. I think there are opportunities that do show themselves during games where it's like, man, you got to hit that receiver and he ends up overthrowing him. Or, man, you got to get this first down. And he pulls it down and tries to run for it and comes up short. So, like, there's some decision-making moments that pop up with Lamar. And you're like, man, dude, come on. You got to be better than that. And honestly, the first thing, too, that pops in my head is playoffs.
Yeah.
First half of the playoffs.
That's one thing you got to knock on.
Mm-hmm. Was throwing the ball over. He was mixing in the run too, so it made the defense, they were on their heels. They couldn't figure out how to stop the Baltimore Ravens offense. And then contrast to itself in the second half, Lamar stopped running. He was trying to prove a point that he can win and not have to run. But that was the wrong decision. So they ended up losing that game. Because of him, he took too many sacks, pressures, and what have you. So, all in all, like, I think Lamar Jackson is a special player. He plays quarterback and he does a very good job within the structure of the offense. And he is definitely worthy of being talked about in the top five. You know, some people, like, you know, myself.
Yep.
There are certain things that he does where I'm just like, but. There's no denying on how well, especially the last couple of years, this guy has played. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be getting better as a quarterback. We've seen him from his rookie year grow into being a better passer. Now we're seeing him progress year and year after, where the other abilities that he needs to have, decision-making, processing, are starting to improve as well.
All right, so again, number three, that's mine. Again, I understand the knocks here, though, too, but when I'm looking at tiers of quarterbacks, after this three for me, it drops, and it's negotiable.
Yeah.
for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I will agree.
The way the quarterbacks are right now in the league, it is not like cut and dry.
No.
I would say the last elite class together was Roethlisberger, Eli, Phillip Rivers. Some of those guys were just above a lot of other people. And I know people are going to knock me right now and probably troll me about I just threw Eli and Phillip Rivers in there, but those guys, and Peyton Manning, you know, Tom Brady, you saw the difference. You saw
Aaron Rodgers in his heyday.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers, absolutely. And then there's a drastic drop. This one, it's murky. Like, these ones, guys are good. And then everybody else is, you could put anybody else as 4 and 5 right now at this point, I think, with some of these guys. It's so close. Yeah. But number three, that's my three. What's yours?
Okay. So number three, this is the kicker, right? So I talked about Burrow. I talked about Goff. Mm-hmm. And people are probably losing their minds about Goff. But here's the thing. I guess buckle your chin strap because it's going to get a lot rougher.
It's going to get crazy.
So number three, he is from down south in the Florida area. None other than Baker Mayfield is my number three.
What? Yeah. No, I've heard people talk about the circles. I get that.
I got to say that for a – this doesn't happen too often where a player gets drafted. He was drafted to the Cleveland Browns. They never stuck with him, which I was surprised because he showed enough like, hey, we should probably just rock with him and build around him and do what normal football teams do. Instead, they give up on him really early, bounce around on a couple different teams. We've seen him sign a contract, fly to Vegas. I think they played the Raiders. I think it was the Rams. They signed the contract. They flew him out to Vegas to play against the Raiders. This dude has never seen the Rams playbook, digested it, or at least some of it anyways, in a matter of hours before kickoff.
He beat him with backyard football.
Goes
basically
out there and beats the team that never could prepare for this guy because and he couldn't prepare because he was limited on the playbook. Mm-hmm. But still miraculously won the game and then continued to excel after that. Goes to Tampa, replaces Tom Brady, which are big shoes to fill, and doesn't look back. This dude has been skyrocketing his career. Mm-hmm. Now he's fine. He's got a home now that he can call home with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's his team. Finally has it. It's all put together for him. He steps in and has been exceptional. Baker Mayfield, I'm telling you, dude. And we talk about completion percentage, again, above 70. 71.4% completion percentage. This past season, 4,500 passing yards, 41 touchdowns to his 16 interceptions. Okay? I'll tell you right now, nobody is talking about Baker Mayfield in the top five conversation.
Yeah.
But I think we need to start relooking at this just because we all want to push up the bigger names or the popular names, I'll say. The Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons. I get it.
Yep.
And you can there's a debate to have all of them in the top five. But I'm sorry, but the last couple of years, man, I have been extremely impressed with Baker Mayfield, how he's handled himself, how he's turned into this, like, now he's the leader. He's the top dog in the offense. Everybody follows him week to week, every Sunday. And he just racks up stats. He gets touchdowns with Mike Evans. Then sometimes he'll go to a guy who he never expected to get it, you know, in McMillan, the rookie. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just like the makeup of the team. I love how Baker Mayfield has filled this role for Tampa and seems to just literally just outperforming what people thought he was capable of. And here we are, at least on my top five, he's number three.
Yeah, yeah. And I can see that. And that was another guy, again, when you break it down, he gets overlooked. He really does. We know he performed well. You're watching it last season. And what's great is the fact that people can make an argument of like, hey, you know, he didn't do well. He didn't have his weapons. He didn't have all this and blah, blah. That was Baker Mayfield last year. Didn't have the weapons, and he still excelled. And he put the team on his shoulders and did it all. And, again, with minimal turnovers, 41 touchdowns, like you said, a few turnovers, 4,500 yards, lights out. But, again, he was there. I was looking at it. It was considering because he is. And that's why I'm saying this is murky ground when you're talking, again, these next couple, because I think there's a tier here, and then now it kind of mixes everybody where there's an honest conversation. And to where I'm even looking at Josh Allen last year, MVP nominee, and I looked at Baker Mayfield's, and I was like, Baker could have even taken this one, you know, but he wasn't even looked at at all. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. If you look at it all, and what he did with not having his wide receivers for a while, and then Mike Evans eventually coming back, bald. Flat out bald. I mean, come on, bro. And for me, again, I think he's coming up in here, but it's like, he was good before, but then questionable. I mean, you talk about a guy that was drafted early, you know, number one, when you know, and then kind of moved from that team and on, and then, you know, and then kind of rejuvenated his career. So it's like, is he going to stick around or not? We had conversations to where we even did on our old show, Football on the No Show, where Johnny Manziel was in the league at the same time at one point, and we were putting Manziel with Mayfield with the off-air, you know, annex, off-the field annex, and he has cleaned himself up, and look at him now, you know, what he's doing. And so I want to see more of that too, which I think he is playing at an elite level, and I considered him for top five. But I just thought three was too high. But I don't blame you. I don't blame him. Baker Mayfield's great baller. Listen, and who knows? He maybe
cracks. I just call it like I see it. You know
what
I mean? Like I'm just saying, like, I know there's gonna
want
be,
to be like a
I think splash in the that, pan. I think that my top five would make everybody roll over in their grave. Like, I feel like I'm really pushing the envelope here, and that's fine. Like, this is what I really believe. And it's not just about stats. So, like, because maybe some people are looking into it that too. Like, oh, well, he's just picking all the guys with the highest completion percentage, the most yards.
But you saw it on the field, though.
Look at how they lead their team. Look at in critical situations on how they're controlling the offense and what they do. Sometimes these guys have to call audibles. It's not an easy job. Quarterback is the hardest job to do in the NFL. So I can't, for the life of me, I can't, you know, think of any other position that could even rival it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And some people, again, when they – because I read a Reddit thread, and he was in one of these two. Goff was there too. And then other people, again, would argue the point that, oh, well, he played – the NFC East and things like that too with the Giants and you know this and that and some of this and played some terrible teams, you know, the Saints were sucky too, you know, with everything they went through. So it's like but they dominated them though. Those teams they dominated. It wasn't even close with some of those games. And other ones, and like I said, dealing with injuries, he still put the team on his shoulders and balled. You know what I'm saying? So other people use it as a crutch, but he just excelled through it. So I find that definitely intriguing. And, again, he can make my list this upcoming season, but he's negotiable. All right, so number four, I'm at my number four. Like I said, after those top three for me, it's kind of murky, and it's negotiable at least at this point. And this is where I put Josh Allen. And some people, again, still are appalled already that we haven't said Josh Allen's name yet. But he's had a pretty good career, you know, like I said, and still doing what he does with his legs, still throwing some decent touchdowns without having the weapons. And this is where people have made the conversation and said, hey, he's doing a lot with not a whole lot of guys there and this. And even early on, he had Stephon Diggs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We get that. But for me, Josh Allen, the knock is, again, that he consistently, like, is inconsistent. Basically, his turnovers, his propensity for turnovers, particularly when he's trying to force plays in pressure situations. We saw it even in the playoffs last season to where they fell short of the Super Bowl. He's known for his incredible arm talent. We get that in competitiveness, but it leads him into risky, bad decisions and turnovers, which he still does. And they call it gunslinger, but again, I call it reckless. And that knocks it down for a quarterback tier for me. You can't be reckless and be an elite quarterback. You know what I mean? So that's why he's brought it down to me in my eyes to where, like I said, I had the top tiers and now he is here at four, which is negotiable with a few different people. I think if the Bills lose him as a quarterback, that changes and people They're see done. That as, you know, most valuable player, you know, cause They're that's how done. A lot of people look at this, which they are. So I give him his credit there too. And that's why he's even here in my top five. But that's where I have him here at number four, Joe. What do you got?
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Before we were even going to do this top five, I was looking at Josh Allen. I'm just like, man, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I get it. Like he's one of the top quarterbacks. There's no doubt about it in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to like being efficient, when it comes to, don't get me wrong, he makes some critical game changing plays, and we've seen it. We've seen it in the playoffs. We've seen it in the regular season. So by no means am I trying to like knock him down a peg or two, but when it comes to playing the quarterback too, that position, like you got to take care of the ball. We've noticed that not in 24 so much, but more in 23. He was fumbling a lot more. Was making some bad decisions and throwing some more interceptions. It seems like he's cleaned it up to this point. You know, at least in 24, mm-hmm. cleaned it up much more. You know, so much cleaner season. But again, a guy who won the MVP, I could make the argument he didn't deserve it. I know that there's a lot of popularity around the name Josh Allen and. And we've mm-hmm. seen more times than not. Even Lamar Jackson. Was it the last time he won it or the time before that? His stats alone was like putrid. Was not even in the top 10 as a quarterback.
I would say. Yeah.
And was outside the top 10 where there was.
I get that like there. I wouldn't say putrid. Brock Purdy, though, but yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I get that. Yeah, yeah.
In terms of the MVP,
I can see that there. Yeah, where it's but like, unwarranted.
But like, you know, and we've seen guys just still get it. So I feel like Josh Allen, as good of a player as he is, he wasn't the most valuable player. That award that he received, when I went back and did some studying on him, I'm like, wow, he won the MVP though. So, I think Josh Allen, really good player. But again, I don't know, man. Like, you could make the case that he doesn't make the top five.
Yeah. Really good. I think so too. Again, because like you said, even if you look at his career and stat lines, it's decent. But again, look at some of these other guys have really been balling out, especially like you even said with lately, Baker Mayfield, what he's been able to do. Jared Goff's consistency. Goff's numbers, I think, are even comparable on that on Josh Allen, but again, he's the biggest.
No, Jared Goff is way better.
right, and this is what you're kind of talking about. It's almost popularity comes involved when it comes down to this towards the end of the season. Hey, this guy did this and that, and how far that might have even been a difference. Say Baltimore makes it further past the Bills. Maybe there again, Lamar walks away with it again. Just because it kind of seems like, again, whatever the trend's going, it seemed like people needed to give Josh Allen his credit where credit's due, finally, to where now, like you said, it almost happened prior with Lamar Jackson, and he kind of got it prematurely to where I would look at it this past season and said, Lamar probably should have had it even too, or, again, Baker Mayfield possibly, you know, in this same conversation, or definitely Joe Burrow. I don't think Joe Burrow should have had comeback player again. And you can see how disappointed he was because, what else do I have to do to prove to you guys, basically? And I know that he's just saying, he's like, I don't need to prove shit to you guys, but come on. I'm flat out doing it here, and I get the best comeback player? Are you serious right now? Mm-hmm. You know? And so, I mean, I think it's negotiable there, and So, yeah, Josh Allen. So who do you have next year on your list then?
So next on my list, a guy that we've kind of already talked about, and I, as much as I kind of didn't want to put him in top five quarterbacks, because to me, he's a weapon. He's not just a quarterback. He's a quarterback, but he's also a weapon in Lamar Jackson. Like, he's not your prototypical quarterback, but man, is he just such a, he's a utility tool. Like the guy isn't, he can throw the ball, you know, we've seen him make some great plays, but that uncanny ability that he has to be mobile and some of the moves that he pulls off in the open field is just not human. It's like alien-like. It just doesn't make any sense, you know? So, I mean, physics, just, it doesn't add up. To me, he's my next guy. He's my fourth quarterback, Lamar Jackson. And we've already talked about him a lot. So that's my number four guy.
So number four is right there. Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah. And again, everything that we've already talked about, the athleticism, he brings a new type of, you know, like you said, he's a Swiss Army knife out there, you know, and people still don't know how to play him. But again, has the downsides. And I think, you know, that's the conversation you need to have when you talk about ranking these quarterbacks. What's their downside? What do they do? And that's kind of where they end up falling in your list and what you find most important. And like I said, weakest link is that's where it is. All right. Mm-hmm. So finally, for my number five on my top five, it's Jared Goff. Like, he's there. He made my top five, Joe. And this was a tough one. Again, I had multiple guys in this spot. I had considered, you know, Stafford even too, again, with his career that he's had. He's still balling out too, despite early on, again, not having Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp on the season, out for a while, but still, you know, playing at a good level. But what Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff were consistently doing, and what Jared Goff, when I look back at it as his career and constantly getting knocked for what he's been, but he's been nothing but consistent and accurate, and really hasn't been able to get to some of those big game situations. He was in the Super Bowl, but I don't think that was his fault. I think a lot of that was poor coaching, McVay getting outcoached by Belichick totally to where he just submitted, and that wasn't his fault on that one. And like I said, and like you said, coming to Detroit was a whole new opening for him, and he's done nothing but playing at a high level. Again, even when you thought he was accurate before, he's more accurate. And with the weapons that he has now too, he can put it wherever he wants and rely on the running game if you want. But with the running game that they have, he's still putting up really, really good numbers here, numbers in a passing game too, with limited turnovers. So Jared Goff, he makes it. He's my top five right now. Mm-hmm. So there it is. I got Mahomes, Joe Burrow is 1A, you know, 2, Lamar Jackson at 3, Josh Allen, and then Jared Goff cracks out my top five. Now, what about you, Joe, here, coming to your number five? What do you got? You already had Jared Goff there at what, number two?
Yeah, number two.
Yeah, number two. Yep.
Baker Mayfield at number 3, Lamar Jackson at 4. Number 5, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. For a lot of the reasons that Jimmy has already stated, I mean, the guy has had, as much as I'm a little bit more down on him the past couple of years, I don't think he's been playing up to snuff, up to his capability. Like, he's still a good player, but man, there's a lot of more missed opportunities last season and the season before than there ever has been in throughout his career. So, even though I'm a little bit down on him, he's going to be my fifth quarterback. Josh Allen to me was in the conversation to kind of just barely kind of skip over it, but really what pushed Mahomes over the edge to me is his efficiency in completing passes. And sometimes he has to make some of these unorthodox throws, or even his mobility that he doesn't, like, honestly, he doesn't get enough credit for. The guy is way faster than you would think. And he can run around the corner, and he does a great job of manipulating the defense. Something that I think he does a lot better than Josh Allen. And I'm not, and I'm not trying to dog Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen was like right there. If I could, I'd have Mahomes A and Josh Allen B in the fifth spot. Like there, it's a tie to me, basically. Both players are a little bit different from each other. They quarterback a little bit differently from each other, but they both do it extremely at a high level and they do it well. That's it in a nutshell. Like that'll be my top five.
Yeah. And that's Joe. I mean, it's right there. I mean, any of them are negotiable. And I know a lot of people are blowing up that Josh Allen's not there, you know, but again, look at them, debate it. There's a lot of debate out there. And like you bring up Patrick Mahomes and we brought up the fact that what he does is his probably one of his greatest assets, but at the same time, it's his biggest downfall on top of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why
the chunk plays, the different trick plays that he pulls off because he has that ability. But then again, it'll also get him in trouble if he goes to the well too many times, trying to throw from almost 2 feet off the ground, going down, just take the sack for once, buddy, you know? When it came to Mahomes, I took wins out of it just because, when we talk about quarterbacks too and greatest quarterbacks even on top of this, I talk about champions sometimes, but it's not like a factor. If you talk about, like, say when a teacher is doing grades for the year, right? They say tests are this much, homework is this percentage, and, you know, classwork is this percentage, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, wins, championship or whatever, that's a team thing. So for me, the chunk of your grade isn't going to be there. It's going to be what I see on the field and how you handle tough situations, throwing under pressure, reading defenses. What do you do when I see you making audibles and make that right play? And then arm talent on top of it, then some accuracy. It's one thing to have great accuracy, but you're a dink and dunker. You know, that's a different thing when you're looking at it. So a lot of it goes into all that. So when you look at Mahomes, he's got like 89 wins in the last three seasons. It's like the most wins out of a lot of different people out there, which, again, a lot of top-tier people. But they've also gotten lucky with some. We know the referee situation on some of that. Getting some of those plays or that are those calls from referees that he's kind of, again, has that reputation of tiptoeing near the out of bounds or doing something, going sliding late to get those calls, you know. So I took wins and things like that out of there for him especially.
And that's why those guys are both kind of tied, you know. And they both, and for a lot of the same reasons that you were talking about Mahomes, it's the same thing, that same arguments you can be made for Josh Allen.
Yeah, and as far as Mahomes, though, too, I just want to bring up one point I think that is a glaring thing, too. When people talk about talent that you have on the field and what you're able to do, and that makes you kind of look better, too. Like, this argument stemmed from people talking about Jalen Hurts being a top five quarterback. And my friend brought it up, and it seemed like people blew up about this. He said no. A lot of people were like, oh, why not? And then this is what a lot of analysts are saying out there, that Jalen Hurts right now, especially after winning a Super Bowl, is a top five quarterback. But when I look at like the Chiefs, he's lost some of the talent here, and they still win, and he still performs at a good level. But you drastically notice a difference from when he had Tyreek Hill and all those guys in that first couple of seasons with Andy Reid and that nucleus. They were destroying teams. Mm-hmm. And you saw last year when you don't have those guys, don't have the weapons, and they were lucky to get some of those wins. That's the difference. You can still win, but what it is and what you're doing, he's not doing what they were doing before. And you had that talent before, and that's why you were able to do that. And I think that's a difference maker. When you look at the teams and how they're winning and what they're doing, I think getting some of those, that talent makes a big difference, even whether it's win or not. So what do you think, real quick, on your opinion here, Jalen Hurts, again, out of the top five, would you have considered him for a top five still? I know you had Josh Allen and Mahomes there. Or?
No, I would not consider Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, honestly, very good quarterback, don't get me wrong. And anybody can debate him. He's definitely a top 10. But I don't view him as a top five quarterback. When you're stacking quarterbacks, you're stacking the guys that are the most efficient, the best, the guys that get the job done. Listen, let's face it. I'll tell you this right now. Philadelphia Eagles had a lot of help by Saquon Barkley this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of like the elephant in the room, but listen, if you don't have a stellar running back like that, let's just say this, you had DeAndre Swift still there again for this last season. I don't know if you guys make it to the Super Bowl. I don't think that happens. But because of that big boost in the run game by Saquon Barkley and how impactful he was with the offense, Jalen Hurts was asked to do way less. And right. then it also made Jalen Hurts' job so much more easier. Because when the defense were all worried about Saquon Barkley, here comes Jalen Hurts dropping back to throw the ball instead, and it led to a lot more, you know, open plays.
So, right.
I mean, you can argue it any direction you want, any you know, path. But
yep.
To me, I don't think Jalen Hurts, at least right now, is a top five quarterback.
Right, right. And again, like you said, I agree with you. The fact that he's a good quarterback. He's showed at times multiple things that he can do. I like his demeanor. He seems, again, calm, cool, and collect. And just those high-pressure moments, again, when you look at those types of, like I said, key points that give you good points or good grades on this, that's what I like about him. He doesn't fold under pressure. He just goes and kind of just soaks it all up and just performs and does his job like he's supposed to. And that's where we've seen him do this in the Super Bowl and just coming short of one before and then just now winning last season. A really good quarterback. I like that about him. But again, he's just off of that tier again to where it's negotiable, you know.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, I'd like to see more. I'd like to even step up a bit more because, again, at some of those decision-making moments, he does fail in some issues here, just kind of like have an off pass here and there. And you're kind of like, what the hell is that, you know? And a lot of people, again, with him, debate so much talent on the Eagles team. You know, you can't be terrible, you know, because of how much talent they have. And I kind of look at it as the fact it's like, yeah, they have a lot of talent, but that's why I think even some of his stats, he's just kind of just, they can run it now. He can do whatever, you know, and he's not asked to do a whole lot because of the talent they have around him.
Right. Right.
All right. Joe, we're having some issues here, technicalities here. So I really, really,
I live in the dark.
A bunch of people, I really appreciate you guys out there tuning in with us and that you guys have been putting up with the fact that Joe has been frozen for a little bit, but we can still hear his audio really well. But Joe, I was wondering, could you maybe try to leave and then rejoin the link maybe, and if that unfreezes your face
That's
a little
it.
Bit.
I'm leaving the show.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring us into our next segment, a little Saquon Barkley stuff. So see if you can leave and then re-click the link and then join back in, and then I'll bring in, hopefully that gets you unfrozen, because I know people don't want to just look at your face there too. They want to see the whole thing going all together though. So, all right. So there you go. So, all right, Joe will be back into it with us in just a second. Hope you guys like everything so far. Again, if you haven't yet, we are here with Grumblings Media. Guys, check out the YouTube page. Just search up Grumblings Media. We pop up right there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell whenever we go live. We're up to 14,000-plus subscribers, so keep it going, everybody. We are one of the biggest growing channels right now, and it's all because you guys out there, and we really appreciate you guys. So my next topic I want to bring up here right before Joe comes back is recently on the Chris Long podcast, Saquon Barkley, you know, was talking about his career. And, you know, one of his biggest heroes, I guess, in the playing field was Barry Sanders. And when he was asked about Barry Sanders and maybe when he might walk away from the game, Saquon had said, you know, Barry Sanders, you know, he's one of my favorite players of all time. And Joe's back with us. There he is, Joe.
Hey, so, what's going on, everybody?
Yeah, you're back. See, there you go. And your lips are moving. All right. So he says, one of my players of all time, but probably my favorite player, Barry Sanders. What's so similar to that is that maybe one day, you know, he will out of nowhere just – be balling like he has been, Saquon, especially last year since he went with the Philadelphia Eagles, he might just say one day, even though he has a yearning for the game, he might just say, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm just done now. I'm at the pinnacle of my career. I'm playing well, but now I'm even healthy again. Maybe they win another championship this year. Maybe he will walk away, or maybe he won't. I mean, he was quoted for saying that, but then one thing you notice differently about Saquon Barkley is, though, what's different from Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders was playing an elite level, but he knew he was stuck with the Detroit Lions. They weren't going anywhere, so he accomplished everything he could on that mountain, except for a Super Bowl. So he wanted out, and the only way out of that was to retire. So that's why he did. So Saquon, I get it, what he's saying and what he would want to do, but they're on two different plateaus right now where they're two different trajectories. Barry's still elite in what he's doing, but no way he had a shot at a Super Bowl, to where the Eagles, coming off a Super Bowl win, he's coming off a 2,000 yard season, almost breaking the rushing record, but decided not to and sit it out to rest, but then also an homage, I would say, on that one, and not to take the title, and potentially to go back to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. So for him to say, hey, one day, oh, you know, I don't feel like playing anymore, I think it's a little crazy, and it's something that he could be like, oh, that would, maybe I could do that, but he's got a three-year contract. I think he's with the Eagles like 3 more years, Joe.
3 more years.
I could see him playing it out, and then maybe. I don't see anything, it depends on where they are, but him just doing another, year and be like, yo, peace them out. What do you think about this one,
Joe? Not at all. I mean, I don't see him all of a sudden cutting it, calling it quits like relatively early, like 2 years left on the contract, and he's done, and he's going to walk out. He won his Super Bowl. He's content. He's just going to take off. Like, this is a player. This is a man that he, as much as he is about the team, he wants to go to the Hall of Fame. And you can't do that by cutting it short. Like, we've seen great players cut their careers short, and they simply don't make the Hall of Fame, not because they're not worthy of it, but because they didn't sustain a long enough career to kind of fulfill that requirement of saying, hey, he did it for a long amount of time. He did it at an extremely high level. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, I feel like that's one last milestone that I think Saquon Barkley would love to have, is to be able to be inducted into the Hall and be known as a great forever. So I don't kind of foresee this guy calling it quits early and going into early retirement. Now, we've seen crazier things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he does, and we'll all be surprised by it. But I just can't see him doing this.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's one of those things that somebody happened to pay attention to Chris Long's podcast at one point. You know what I mean? Like, we hear this happening, like, when they get these quotes from these players, they're like, hey, he happened to be on this guy's podcast. They're like, what the hell? You guys decided to listen to it at one point, and he was noted saying this, and it kind of gets that person's podcast some clout real quick, and then there you go, oh my goodness, he said that on that. And that's kind of one of the situations. I think he was just with him talking and broke down his barriers, and just a conversation like, okay, Barry is one of my greatest, he walked out early, honor to him, he was still playing at an elite level. Do I see that? Probably not, but who knows, maybe I changed my mind, I have other interests, I have this and that. And he's been stricken with the injury bug a little bit too. We just noticed now too, he's just named to the Madden cover. So I don't think there's an actual curse there, but now he has graced the Madden cover with his dynamic reverse hurdle.
Yeah.
So he's there hurdling for the cover. So good luck to Saquon and being healthy this season. And hopefully the curse doesn't come and get him.
Here's the thing. I think the curse is real, and it's not because there is a curse. I feel like it's more of a mental thing. I feel like when you get put on the cuff,
like, you need
everybody
to perform,
automatically is worried and wondering, like, not that they're like scared, but it's just like this little thing in the back of their heads. Like, I'm on the Madden cover. Like, I hope I don't please don't let me get hurt this game. Like, I feel like it's part of like this overthinking type of thing because it's happened so often, but it could be just a, you know, just something that happens. Like guys that get, they get hurt all the time. And just because you happen to be on the cover, you see these injuries happening. And you're like, oh, well, see, it's because of Madden Curse. But it goes two different ways. It could be injury related, but it also could be production. It also could be a down year for that player. Mm-hmm. It is how the curse works now. It's more, you know, kind of like a, you know, double entendre, you know, of your season. It could go either you get injured or you happen to, you know, don't have such a great year as you did before. So, but we want you guys to keep supporting the channel. We do really do appreciate you guys. Jim, I think we've kind of superseded our expectations a little bit with the subscriptions now.
Yeah.
Over at Grumblings Media. What are we at, 14,000?
14,000 now, yeah. I just brought it up before you rejoined. And, I thanked everybody. And let's keep it going. Let's keep it flowing here.
Yeah, we're still fine. Listen, it's just like barely over a year. Mm-hmm. Barely over a year, Grumblings Media has been on YouTube. And we have already eclipsed 14,000 subscribers. We want you guys out there to be part of the show, help support the show, become part of the Blitz Nation by hitting the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up while you're there, share it to all your family and friends. And this is, it's an awesome show. We love doing the show. We have a lot of fun doing this. And we want you guys to be more involved. Drop in the comment section whenever we're live. We're going to react to it.
The more interaction, the more subs we get with you guys, the more we can open up and do more stuff, do more live stuff out and about, travel, get more guests on too. We've had a lot of great guests, and we're going to get more coming up. But the more you guys, you know, join along with us, we can do more too as well. So we appreciate you out there. All right. We had a week off last week, and a week before that, though, we got into looking at Caesar Sportsbook and what they had predicted for win totals. Win totals for the season upcoming for right now for teams, and a lot of that stuff's just, you know, inflated here and there, and depending on what you want to do. What was funny when I looked at them all, I'm like, how are these win totals so close? But then the losers don't have terrible records, you know what I mean? I don't get that. But so Caesar Sportsbook, we looked at the NFC first. If you guys want to check that out, just again, subscribe to the show, look back at older videos, and it's there. But this week we are going to do the AFC, the whole AFC conference, and we're going to take a look at the first ones, the highest predictions here that they have from Caesar Sportsbook. That's where it's coming from, to the lowest here. We're basically going to say, do we like it? Is it too high? Is it too low? Or like a Goldilocks, is it just right, Joe? So let's look at their first team. They've got the Ravens here with the most wins next season for the AFC, Joe, at 11.6. Are you going high? You're going low? Or you like it where it is?
Going low. Going low because that is probably one of the most competitive divisions in football.
Yeah.
I mean, even given that, you know, they got to face all those teams twice, and then on top of that, they're probably going to have a pretty tough, you know, year going against other opponents as well. So we've seen surprises happen against Baltimore where, good God, Gardner Minshew of the Raiders went into Baltimore and they beat Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. That was an upset, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But we've seen these type of games where maybe the Ravens take the other team a little bit too lightly, and you know they slip up a little bit. So I don't think that, as good as I think the Ravens are, I think that's going to be a hard accomplishment to get above 12 wins.
Mm-hmm. They did it last year, and I think potentially they could do it again this year, Joe. It's tough. That 11's right there on the cusp. I think I'm going to go with the under. I'm going to go with the under two as well. And that's with 11 wins, probably 11.6. 12 is too hefty, you know, just because I think the Bengals are going to be better.
Everybody in the AFC is better.
Right, exactly, and I get that, but, you know, I think the thing is, within their division, I think they're going to probably take it to Pittsburgh with them still not knowing what the hell they're doing with quarterback, and Cleveland with what's going on, unless something, again, they have lightning in a bottle with some of these quarterbacks, you know, that they've drafted.
All I got to say is Cleveland definitely has options way more than Pittsburgh. So
right.
Pittsburgh's got like nothing.
Right.
Like I don't care. I don't care who you
maybe
are.
Maybe they spare Steeler,
you know, the steel curtain out there, the fan base out there. Like you can preach all you want about Mason Rudolph. Like I'm sorry, that does not strike fear into any defensive party. So,
nope. Certainly not Miles Garrett. We know that situation.
Unless they get if they in fact get Rodgers, then everything's, you know, kumbaya. We're okay. Right. We're gonna be all right. But if that doesn't happen. And with this news about Kirk Cousins, is he going to be traded? Is he not going to be traded? There's $27.5 million in guarantees on the line. Like they could save that cap space after June 1st. Well, you know what? According to my calculations, it's after June 1st, and they could save some money if they were to trade him. Now the sticking point, and this has been the sticking point up to this point, is guarantees. The Atlanta Falcons don't want to, you know, hold back any guarantees. They want whoever's trading for him to take on all of that. So and that is going to be the tricky situation. That's why it's unlikely he does get moved. But we've seen crazier things happen. So if Pittsburgh does get desperate enough, and or if they get an answer from Rodgers and he says, nah, I think I'm just going to retire, or nah, I'm going to wait a year, whatever he wants to decide, Pittsburgh's going to have to make a move. They're going to have to probably swallow the pill and say, you know what, screw it. We're just going to have to make it work. So we'll see. Right. We'll see.
Yeah, and I think Atlanta's happy with doing that, sticking out there instead, waiting for desperation because that only brings the level up higher. So I think they're willing to wait because
– what do you mean by level up?
Because I think that if they sit there, I think they would rather have him as the backup because Michael Penix, again, short – starts right now so with them so far. If he goes down by injury of some sort, we never, you know, you might, you know, you have Kirk Cousins to go right in and you're already paying a guy.
I mean, that's been the plan the whole time is for him to be the backup.
Exactly. So that's a great plan right there so far. And we get that you're paying all that money for a guy to be there, but that's your guarantee even right there. That's one hell of an insurance policy. And then when it comes down to a team, it's so desperate that they will say, screw it. We're going to pay this. We're going to do that. Okay, we'll take him. We're making a playoff run. Our guy just went down. Mm-hmm. Or like you said, you know, we're not getting Aaron Rodgers, but we still need to be competitive in this division. I think we can. Let's do this. You know,
let's do it again. Let's get another retread quarterback.
Right, and that's what I mean. That's where the value is. So they're willing to sit back and say, you know, whatever. And I think that only brings it the desperation and the amount again that people are they're not going to. Atlanta's not going to put any money towards anything. The whole team that goes to get Kirk Cousins is going to cover the tab. It's because they're going to be desperate. And that's what they're doing.
The only team that's going to be doing that is Pittsburgh. So if Pittsburgh is out of the race, they're stuck with it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so next, you know, Ravens, we said no on 11.6 wins. They were first here by Caesar Sportsbook. The Bills are next at 11.4, Joe, 11 wins. 11.4, a little bit over, high, low.
I'll say higher.
Higher?
Yeah, I'll say higher. And the reason why I'm saying higher is because it's very different playing in that division of the AFC East versus the AFC North. That division is – I feel like the Jets are going to take a little bit of a step downward than what they already were because new regime, there's always that – kind of turnover period where it might take a little bit longer time to acclimate with the new coaching, the new philosophies. You got a new quarterback in Justin Fields again. You know, it's how much of the chemistry you can build. There's a lot that goes into it. So I feel like the Jets aren't going to take off right away and become a nuisance in that division, at least early in the season. So the Dolphins, who've kind of been up and down, I mean, we've been let down by them before. Like, their defense isn't up to par just yet, and their offense seems to always get injured, whether it be Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua himself. See, and their offensive line still isn't, like, solidified. So there's a lot of question marks in that division, to say the least. And the Patriots, as much as I am high on them, I think that they're going to take another step forward this year. I don't think they're going to be challenging for the division. So I think it's an easier division for the Bills to kind of win, and I think it's going to pat some of those the win totals up a little bit more.
Right. and we've kind of brought this up, especially last year, I think, even the fact that it's the Bills' division to lose, and this is where they are again, where we now see Miami is taking a downhill turn now, where they were competing, and I don't think they are anymore, to where now the Patriots are going to start, but they're not going to flip it around in one season here. And from them being last, was it 4 wins I think they had last year, they can turn it around from that easy. Jets, there's a big old question mark for me, but do they have more than 8 wins? I don't think so. You know what I mean? So,
is that the?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even. I haven't looked yet. So who knows? Okay. That's a big old question mark on that one. But
I thought you were asking. Again.
But no. But basically, you know, we just talked about that division that's close with a lot of competitors there.
Yeah.
This one, I think the Bills again. It's there to lose, which they're not going to. They had 13 wins last year. The number is 11.4. I can see them doing 12 this year, easy. Mm-hmm. So, again, they can handle that division. It's who they're handling outside of that. So, next up, now they've got the Chiefs at 11.2 wins on the season.
I'm going to say lower.
Division's got tougher.
I'm going to say lower. I mean, as good as the Chiefs as a team is, and I know they're getting back Rashee Rice, but the whole hype is going to be, oh, they're getting back Rashee Rice. They're getting back their core. They're going to light it on fire again. That wasn't the reason why they got where they got is their defense. Their defense is so good that their defense not only held them in games, but also sometimes they won the games for the team. So I think the offense is going to be better. There's no doubt about it. I think they drafted a very good running back that could come in and honestly could start over Pacheco. But now they got themselves a deep running back. The backfield's deep.
Backfield. Yep.
You got the receivers that are going to be coming back healthy. They're going to be right back in line with Mahomes. The offense will look different because they're not limited with speed that they were missing before in Rice. And hopefully – I know they're hoping that their offensive line is a little bit more solidified because that has always been a problem for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that all being said, I still think that it's going to be a tough – dude, this conference is so tough. Their division is tough, and everybody in the division got better. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be lower than that. They might have 10 wins, but I don't think that they'll have 11. Because even if, let's just say they split every divisional matchup, you know, and that's 3 wins. Right. Now you got to face some of these other teams that you're not familiar with that have also gotten better.
Right. I think they do have to play Washington, Philadelphia this year, too. Yeah. I mean, so a lot of tougher
the AFC
games.
AFC West plays them. Yep.
So, and like you said, teams got better. That's in their division. I'm excited to see what Denver's going to do. You know, your Raiders, see what they turn around under Pete Carroll. And the Chargers, again, I think, you know, seeing what they were able to accomplish last year.
I don't know if you heard this, Jim, but what's this news? I don't know how much of news it is, but we talked about our good buddy Nick Chubb in free agency. And we're wondering what team he was going to go to. Is he going to be a backup? Is he going to be a rotational player, all that starter? I heard recent news that even though the Raiders drafted Ashton Jeanty, that they're actually kicking the tires on Nick Chubb to add him as a rotational back behind Jeanty.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how true it is. I don't know if it's just a rumor, but it's something that I just heard recently in the last, like, 2 hours. So keep an eye on that because nobody – I feel like he took one visit, I want to say, to a team. I can't remember the team off the top of my head.
I know
he did take a visit.
The Bears are interested. I know that much.
And then, but it didn't go nowhere. They didn't like sign him or anything. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think he's a good dude. I think he could definitely.
Be
at least a very good backup. Let alone if he is 100% healthy, definitely could be a nice 1-2 punch for you.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for an injury, that's what sucks. Again, we look at that player. I mean, he did it. The way you're supposed to do it always. Mm-hmm. And he just did nothing but perform. He didn't celebrate crazy in the end zone either. He just, boom, score, bang. Reminded me, not the way he runs, but the way he attacked the game, a lot like Barry Sanders, the same thing. Just there, all business, getting it done, boom, boom, boom. Doesn't say a whole lot, just works.
Right.
And it sucks that he had an injury like this to where now, again, free agent out there. I mean, I would have loved to have him bring him in here with the Giants and stuff, but now, you know, what they've done here with that running back situation, I like what they have there too.
Yeah, you got two good guys, two young guys you're going to grow with. Yeah,
exactly. So I could see him joining a squad right too. If you have him in your back pocket and he can be anything close to what
anything
he was,
close.
I mean, and that's what I mean. It doesn't have to put the workload on him. Yeah. I think it's a win-win situation. Easy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's something interesting because if anybody was to look at the free agent list, there's some veterans out there that Jedrick Wills is another one. Offensive tackle was really good, like damn near Pro Bowl level of a tackle. Gets majorly injured. The team doesn't want to re-sign him. He goes to free agency. Nobody signs him still. And he's still out there. But that's because teams are waiting to see how healthy he can be. If he gets a clean bill of health, I definitely expect him to be signed by somebody, maybe the Chiefs, mm-hmm. that are always looking for tackles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another name to kind of keep your eye on as well, because these are guys that, coming back from the injuries that they are, the only reason why they're still out there is because the teams are maybe a little uncertain of just how healthy they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so next, moving on from the Chiefs, again, they had 15 wins last year and two losses.
Yeah.
So it's easy for them to say, hey, they're going to have 11.2 this year. I mean, you're going to go
you know
down
what?
From that.
You know something? Some of these draft books or some of these
sports
books,
mm-hmm.
they know some information we don't.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why they put a number to it like they do.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not 14 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 13, and a half. It's 11.
Yeah.
So maybe they think they're going to get 12 wins, or something like that, and trying to play games with you mentally. So,
right.
But I don't know. It's going to be tough this year for every team.
Yeah, and never mind. We should have Iggy again on sometimes to talk about some of these scenarios here with some of these guys in betting. Next, after the Chiefs here, for the most wins, they've got the Broncos here. Giving love to the AFC West.
Yeah,
but
you know what? I could see it. I mean, the Broncos defense was one of the best defenses in the NFL. And then if this offense is to take another big step forward, the Broncos are going to surprise some people.
But right, which is kind of funny, though, because the Broncos had 10 wins last year. We're thinking they could get better second year round. Mm-hmm. They got them at 9.5 in the for wins. So is it another 10-year season? It is tough because some of the teams that they play, like you said, they mm-hmm. do play the NFC East,
Yep.
But they also play the West. So that would be the Rams, then also they're going to play the Lions,
Cardinals.
Too, on top of the Cardinals, Seahawks, 49ers. So there's some tough games that they have coming up. So, I mean, it should be
interesting
to see what happens.
I say hi. I think they're going to get over that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could
be. Their defense alone is stellar. Mm-hmm. And they improved it, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm gonna go higher too. Like, I'm happy with 10 even again. So I can say they could get better than last
right.
year, but it's safe to say above
right.
9. I'm going with that too as well. And next up, right after that, AFC West again, Chargers. They got Chargers at 9.3. Again, Chargers had 11 wins last year.
Mm-hmm.
Close, I think this year, another year under Harbaugh. I know Justin Herbert is gaining more confidence as we go, so that could be scary because he's kind of been that quarterback that has danced outside of top-tier quarterback situation. And maybe, after another year here, he can peek his way through. He performed well, even though they go a run-first type of offense here, and we get that. When asked upon, he's performed, and they've gotten, some more weapons there for him too as well.
They did in the first half of the season. And then they got smart and said, this isn't working, because they weren't. They were struggling. Like, unless they, ripped off a 60-yard touchdown run, to put points on the board, when they started to fall behind, they were like, we got to throw the ball.
Yeah.
When they got smart in the second half of the season, that's when they made it a more balanced offense, which in turn made them a way more deadlier offense. And it helped their defense get some rest and whatnot. So, I'll say I'll say the Chargers, everybody got better. But with Jim Harbaugh, like, I hope this. If Jim Harbaugh tries to go back to his roots again early in the season and try to run the ball heavy, it's not going to work. I would say low. But if they continue to be balanced, then it's going to be high. I think they'll get over that total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 9 wins. I think they're going to do better than that. I'm going to go with an easy 10 here. An over. I'm going over. I like it. So next here. Leaving the AFC West, now they finally, we talked about these teams when we're talking about quarterbacks, elite talent playing. The Bengals are finally now here. Joe Burrow and those guys balling out, even though, again, you know, coming back from injury, blah, 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 and what he did last year and what they were able to do. That defense has been their Achilles heel to why they can't get some of these wins. Let's say they could turn it around this year and hold off, stop the outscoring here, keep that offense going and what they're doing. And the Bengals, they've got them at 9.1 wins on total for the season, Joe. What do you think about that one?
I think the Bengals are going to be higher. After everything gets squared away with Trey Hendrickson, and I do believe that they're going to get the deal done with Trey, and the rookie, you know, that they just drafted, he's still waiting on his contract. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's because they're waiting to get Trey done.
Yeah.
What's kind of holding everything up. But after that, that'll get squared away. I mean, there's going to be a very good pass rush on that D-line. They've done a pretty good job this offseason of addressing it. And
yeah.
I don't really have a worry. The only thing that I would say is maybe the rest of the defense, like the back end of the defense, the linebackers, like, because there was a little bit of a changing of the guard there.
Yes.
So we'll have to wait and see just how they attack all that.
Right, right. And again, they had 9 wins last year. And for a team, again, that starts off slow. We talk about this when we talk about the previewing this season as we go.
Bang. They'll be going 4.
Yeah, yeah. They start off slow. And you know what? It doesn't help with getting off some of these games here early. In preseason, they've got some tough guys, but finally, when we get into the season, they open up with the Browns, and then the Jags. So if they fail, which we've seen them do it before too, they've lost to like the Colts for some reason, you know, got the Browns and the Jags first. So take care of business, Joe Burrow and you guys, come on, let's get it done. Let's start off early, get it done. So you don't have to worry about, you know, coming back, you know, in the latter. To make that playoff run. So, but I say over 9 too. I like it. I'm going with that. All right, next they've got the Texans here smack in the middle with 9 wins even. Texans are a tougher team because, again, C.J. Stroud, his rookie year, coming out really well, playing well. A little bit of a downtick last year, but, again, having injuries to it, the wide receiver situation. Stephon Diggs never really getting involved in anything too.
Offensive line was terrible.
So the team kind of went – and when a lot of people put a lot of expectations on them, didn't hit them. Even though they still made the playoffs, and they really had a good shot, I think, even too, to win a playoff game here against the Chiefs.
They fought through adversity, that's for mm-hmm. sure. And you know what? They never gave up, and they made it to the playoffs. So kudos to them. Even though injuries were mounting up and everything, we saw a couple of off-season moves. The Texans trading away some people, you know. Laremy Tunsil, getting traded again. But again, they're a team that's still young, still on the rise. They've added, you know, some pieces that have filled those voids, and we'll see if it all works out for them. Honestly, like, I mean, I'm pretty stoked about Houston. I still think highly of them, so I would say higher for me. I think they're going to do better than 9 wins.
Yeah, again, I think there's a lot of good talent there. C.J. Stroud is a very good talent.
How awesome of a business decision was it to trade Stephon Diggs to get rid of him?
Mm-hmm.
Because or not trade him,
bring him back. Yeah,
but just not bring him back. Mm-hmm. How smart were they? Because now you look at what's going on with Diggs, bro.
Yeah,
what kind of life are you living, man?
Like, yeah.
This is crazy, and he thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. It's insane to me. The guy's delusional. He's the new age Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Right, right, right.
So,
yeah.
Good riddance, Stefon Diggs.
And
guess what? We're
going
to keep on keeping on with Nico.
Yeah. Yeah, and seriously, for me, I think the league is turning away from guys like that. You see it. The league right now, the face of the league, which they kind of throw quarterback out, Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is that face that the NFL wants out there. He's young. You know, he's still just a positive player. He's the best wide receiver, questionably, with Ja'Marr Chase. Even Ja'Marr Chase is out there. You know what I'm saying? One of the best. We could have that debate too, one of these shows. Maybe that'll be our next show. I'm just saying that he's there. He's not a diva. He's just performing and whatever. And this is why I think they're turning away from guys like this, because people don't want to deal with it. You're not really worth that much. They can find a guy that can contribute that still is a better locker room type of guy. Stefon Diggs has had that moment to where, again, hasn't been that locker room guy. He might have connected for a short time here with with Josh Allen there when he went to Buffalo, but pretty soon it started to spoil. You know what I mean? When it wasn't turning into some things, not getting the ball enough or whatever it might not be, you saw him start to kind of revert to what you saw leaving Minnesota, Stefon Diggs. And this is what you get. So dodged a bullet, like you said. Kudos to them, dodged a bullet. They have 9 wins on the docket here. They had 10 wins last year. And I feel like, again, looking at them, they kind of had a downtick in a sense. I think they're going to be better again. So I'm going over 9 wins, absolutely. All right, so next up, they've got the Dolphins now here, sitting at 8.3, Joe, on win total. They had 8 wins last year and 9 losses.
Well, can we put missing a disclaimer two a on bit. This team and say, if healthy. Higher.
That should be their name now, right? The Miami if healthies, right? It's what they deal with all the time. Yes.
It'll be the Miami IH.
Yes. So if healthy, 8 wins, you're saying?
They're higher. They're higher. Higher than
that. Yeah. And you notice a difference too when Tua is in there. And I think is what's funny about Tua is when we were looking at stats and even looking at the quarterbacks, I know when I was too, his name pops up a lot in a lot of the good numbers. But knowing what you do kind of know about him with eye test, throw strength,
throw strength. I think that's
I get that too.
He's strong enough to where he gets it to a spot where the receivers can get it. Like
right, but a lot of numbers he has near – they're top 5 numbers. I mean, throwing even under pressure. I think some comeback wins, I think he was up at the top. I don't remember exactly right now. But
yeah.
Accuracy, he's there, you know. And deep ball, I think even on some of those too, like air time, I think I was surprised I saw for the amount of time that the air's in the ball per pass, he was up near the top, which I think was intriguing. But people don't see Tua as a top 5, top 10 quarterback.
No, because there's this stigma about him that everybody follows. Like, as soon as a couple people or so-called experts say, oh, well, he's got a weak arm, everybody believes it. It's like, no, just watch him play. Yes, he doesn't have the strongest arm in the league, for sure. But what he does at a very high level is he throws it to spots where the receivers can get it. You know, he might not be able to reach Tyreek Hill if Tyreek Hill was to go on a go and 60 yards down the field. Yeah, he's not throwing it there. But what he will do is he'll throw it 50 yards and throw it 10 yards to the left. And now Tyreek Hill tracks it to the left and catches it still and takes off. So it's one of these things where, like, yeah, does he have a weaker arm than most? Sure. But you know what? He can get the job done. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm. So they're sitting there at 8 wins. You're saying over if he's healthy. Again, I don't think they're contending for that division. I think they could still win. But I don't know. I think I'm going to go with 8 again. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under on this one. So next up, we've got the Steelers there. So this is what I think is intriguing here with the sports book. Mm-hmm. You said that they know certain things and this and that. But when you look at the Steelers with the question marks that's around Aaron Rodgers, is he coming? Is he not?
Right.
Did they take that into consideration with Pittsburgh having 10 wins last year with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson back and forth? Mm-hmm. They've got him here at 8.3 with the Dolphins.
Yeah. So that's the thing. There's a growing concern that maybe Rodgers ain't
maybe
going.
Maybe he isn't. Time. So then they're begging you to stay under.
And that's the thing is if Rodgers ain't there, and they're not getting another quarterback. Like if they can't get Kirk Cousins, they're going to be lower than 8 wins. I'm sorry,
yeah.
But they are. And here's the other thing too is you also got to take in the factor that George Pickens ain't there anymore either. They only got DK Metcalf and that's it. As a elite or above average type of receiver, it's DK Metcalf. And who else? I'll wait.
Tight end Freiermuth, you know what I mean? But not wide receiver wise. Yes, I get you there. Yeah.
Like you don't have any other like opposite DK Metcalf. Now everybody every time they play Pittsburgh is going to double team DK. And you don't have anybody else opposite side of him to kind of say, "Oh, wait, we can't do that." You know, we got to spread it out a little bit more on coverage. So this is the biggest question mark of the NFL is Pittsburgh and their quarterback situation. If Rodgers doesn't go there and Kirk Cousins doesn't get traded there, are they really an 8-win team even that? I might be so on it. I might say 5-win team. Like, they got a good defense. There's no doubt about it. But you don't got a quarterback to lead that's good enough. Yeesh, it's scary. So I would say lower. At this moment, it's lower for me because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. They don't. You know, again, drafted Will Howard. Is he going to compete for the starting job? You know, it's not going to be Skylar Thompson.
Maybe Will Howard, maybe if that's the case and it's going to be between Rudolph and Howard, I got my chips in the middle of the table on Howard winning the job as a rookie. Yeah. I think he's just better. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, running back by committee here. I thought they were going to keep, you know, Najee Harris here along board. I mean, I know. Would let them go. I mean, I think that's a big factor them on their end.
Money, you know? Man. Money. Yeah. Talk.
Yep. Yep. So I think they're going to take it downhill too. It's safe to say I'm going to take the bait. I'm going to go under 8 on this one.
Take the bait. Why not?
Take the bait. Why not? All right. So Patriots, they've got them at 8 wins now, Joe, just under the Steelers. We talked about the Patriots being a better team. It can't get much better. You know, it might can't be hard to get better after you had 4 wins last season. Mm-hmm. But 8 wins for me, dead nuts right there. I like it. I can see them potentially getting some wins here. They definitely improved. They're one of the most improved teams, I think, you know, in the NFL. And Mike Vrabel, what he's done with teams before with Tennessee. And knowing the game too, out coaching Bill Belichick, the man himself, in the playoffs, I have faith. I have faith in them. What they could do, 8 wins. I like a solid 8 here.
I think it's going to come down to their protection. I mean, yes, they have upgraded, but we also thought the Jets upgraded, and that didn't work out. So, I'm going to say lower. I don't think they're going to get 8 wins. I don't think I think that they're still in that rebuilding mode. Yes, they added probably the most players out of any team to kind of fill voids, but that doesn't necessarily spell success when you get a lot of new players in on the first year and, you know, you got a new coach too. So what kind of a system are they going to use? Like, you know, Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator, by the way. Genius Josh. So if you're really that, you know, excited about him being back in that seat, then I don't know. So, but I think the defense will be very good. It'll be very sound because Vrabel will kind of basically head that, with his D coordinator. The offense is what I'm kind of more concerned with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to get any back talk because Tom Brady ain't there.
No.
So you got a young, impressionable kid in Drake May who's going to listen to whatever he says. And we've seen history of him going to Denver, of him going to Vegas and doing the same thing, my way or the highway, and it just doesn't work. So I think lower for me.
All right. Next up, we've got – now we're getting to the bottom of the barrel here, Joe, getting down to the last
one. I'm ready for it.
Ready for it. Here we go. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the 7.7 win totals for the season. A year where I mean, again, another debate or segment we could have on our show is Trevor Lawrence. He's got a lot of pressure. He got paid that deal, and you know,
hasn't lived up to it,
especially to where quarterbacks picked high. You've got that expectations, especially what he had coming along. He was going to be the savior for Jacksonville, and hasn't. Nope. You know, one glimmering season, and now you know Doug Peterson is out. You know what I mean? So what are we going to do here with Jacksonville?
Yeah, yet again, learning under a new coaching staff. You know, is this going to be – is this finally the year that he, you know, kind of uncorks it a little bit and starts to show something, the reason why he got drafted so high? But he's been lackluster, honestly. Even in critical moments, even on game-winning drives, I don't know, man. I want to give them credit. I want them to get better as a football fan. But, man, dude, they just make it so hard to even root for them anymore. It seems like they constantly make bad football decisions. And Trevor Lawrence seems to – it's not that Trevor Lawrence is regressing. He's not getting any better since he's entered the league.
Yeah.
He's been plateaued. He's been flatlined.
Yeah.
He's been dead.
Right.
This whole time. Like we're still waiting to revitalize him. Where's the freaking come on, let's do something to wake him up here.
But
that with all that said, like I still think like their defense has the potential to be a good defense, but will that be good enough? You know, they're not going to have a great defense, but will it be enough? And I'm not so sure. Like unless Trevor Lawrence starts to show something to me, I'm just not high on him. I'm going to go low.
Yeah, I'm going to go low as well. Again, 7.7, that's giving him a lot. I'm going to go under that easy.
They might have 6 wins. But.
Right. And it's like when you look at – he had as much hype as Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah, ton of hype.
Him and Andrew Luck probably had the most hype, but Andrew Luck started playing at an elite level – like early, and then injuries plagued him, and then easy early.
I don't know, Jim. I'd throw Caleb Williams into that.
Yeah, he's trying. It seems like with Caleb Williams, they're begging for it to happen. You know what I mean? It seems like what they kind of. Some people, when they did call Patrick Mahomes, some people did that idea. Patrick Mahomes, he's too undisciplined. He's not going to do anything. Others that said, hey, Patrick Mahomes is going to be great, and then he ended up being really good. People are trying to jump on that wagon quick. So you know it with analysts, you and I, we talk about the games. We see what we see. You have a different opinion from me. Sometimes we're on the same page, but we'll talk about it. And you know that analysts or other talking heads out there will just say whatever and then backdoor whatever they can to try and keep proving their point and keep pushing it. Like, oh, he's going to though. It's going to happen. And it says blah, blah. And it's keep forcing it. And this is what they – yeah. And then all of a sudden they'll be like, just change your like that, like it never happened, like they never said that.
We tried to tell
what
you
they're doing. They're trying to talk it to in existence. And the fact now that Ben Johnson is there, they're so high on this right now. They're like, dude, this thing is turning right around. It's gonna be great. I'm loving what this guy's saying. I'm loving the okay. I've heard that before too. We shall see. But yeah, like guys, for Caleb Williams, it seems like for me they're trying to talk it to existence.
Yeah, I was just saying that, like, that the hype was high.
No, I get it.
That's really what it was. Like,
right.
I honestly think that's the most hyped quarterback I've ever seen is Caleb Williams. When the evidence was there the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know he's the most hype. Like, a lot of people do, but I don't think he's most hype again. When you're talking about, hey, you're the next coming this and that, and that's what I feel like you were getting from Andrew Luck, definitely.
No, Andrew Luck was
that's why that, they though. Even, yeah. Oh, no,
Andrew Luck was that.
Like, yeah, he was.
That was.
So you're talking about overhype, say overhype, right?
Every number one quarterback that gets taken, there's a lot of hype.
Right.
But the guys that shouldn't be taken high, that are hyped, those are the most hyped in my mind.
There you go. There's another list. Most overhyped players or quarterbacks.
DeMarcus Russell.
DeMarcus Russell's got to be there, right? Oh, man. All right, so there you go. We covered the Jags. We got a handful more. The Colts right behind the Jags at 7.6 wins, Joe. Again, Anthony Richardson, what are we going to get here with this team, man? You know, how's he going to perform again? Because that's a big question mark for me still. They still, after everything, going through it all last year, had 8 wins, 9 losses. So still were able to bounce back to show something better than 7.6 right now. But is he going to be that guy now moving forward? You know, after being benched, there's some, you know, that did something, but did it though?
Is there a time this season that Richardson gets benched for Daniel Jones?
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
seen it even right now on across my Instagram, they're showing highlights of Danny Dimes and what he's throwing there, you know, in practice.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything what Richardson's doing out there.
Here's what I'll say is I take everything like a grain of salt this time of year because nobody is playing real defense in OTAs. Nobody.
Right, right. No, we get that. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody is wide open. Like, oh, look at this throw. Look at this.
Oh, look at this throw. You know it's wobbly. It's still there.
The defender was like 3 yards away from him. They didn't even try to knock the ball away. You know what I mean? Like, no one's really trying to earn their spot yet. When training camp starts late July, early August, that's when heads start bashing. That's when people are getting more physical and trying to make the team make an impression. Until then, I don't care how many catches a receiver has or a quarterback throws a nice ball. You know what I mean? Running back does drills. Who cares? So with the Colts, this is a very, very tricky team. So you have Daniel Jones kind of in their back pocket. They could turn to him if they say, you know what? If they're willing to give up on Richardson, that's what's really going to come down to. Is at any point this season, do they say, you know what? This kid is just not going to – he's not going to work. Not going to work for us anyway. Like, we have to move on. Let's give Daniel Jones a shot. Like, if that's the case, if they ever get to that point, it's going to be a tough one in Indy. I'll tell you right now, because that's going to set them back another 5 years. With that being said, we've also seen Richardson pull off some crazy plays with his legs and escaping the pocket, kind of like Lamar Jackson does to create more time. And throw a bullet pass way down the field. So I think that team overall, I feel like always gets overlooked. You know, I feel like their defense is overlooked. Their offense definitely is overlooked. But is this the year that he wakes up? Is this the year that Richardson kind of at least takes a step forward? It's tough. So I'll say this, like, I think as much as it's kind of like a borderline high or low, it's almost like I want to just stay where it's at. So, but I'll just say low and just, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You got a big question mark still, even after from last year. Like I said, they had 8 wins last year. You're dancing around 8. You're talking 7 or 8. What are you going to do? So I'm going to stay with the lower two as well, just because I'm not sure what to expect from this team. And with how, if you look at these teams here that you're talking about question marks, you're still not sure about the quarterback situation. These other teams in the AFC, they're elite teams. They're good teams. You know what I mean? So they're going to be playing them and they're going to be playing at a high level. And if you got a question mark on another team, they're going to suffer the consequences. You know what I mean? I don't see the Colts, if they're playing the Bengals, I don't see them competing offensively with the Bengals. You know, even if the Bengals defense isn't that good, I don't see them putting up the numbers to compete with that.
Right.
So that's where they lie here in this one. So next coming up, we got your Vegas Raiders here. It's 7.4, Joe. 7.4.
So nice of them.
Yeah, right at the sweet spot again.
7.4, sweet spot. This is like, I'm not going to lie. I think this is easy. I think they go higher than this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, listen, I believe that there is a stigma, not so much from the so-called insiders, but I think fans on the outside. Raiders have been historically known as a losing franchise, and I understand that. But they haven't had a quarterback since Derek Carr. Like, they haven't had a legitimate starting quarterback since Derek Carr was there.
Yeah.
They trade for Geno Smith. They have tremendous weapons already. Like with Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer's nice, Jacoby Myers. They drafted a couple of wide receivers that we'll see if they pan out, but they could end up being mid-round steals if they pan out. But then you get Jenty in the backfield. Your offensive line, you've improved, but also the offensive line really wasn't as bad as people kind of made it out to be last year. And honestly, they were kind of like an above-average offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And then you couple that with the injury-riddled defense. Crosby's 100% healthy now. Malcolm Kuntz comes back the opposite side. And Christian Wilkins is going to be back. Like, they have the makings, at least, of a startup franchise, right? Like, they have some cornerstone pieces. And I think that they're going to surprise some teams this year. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs at all. But what I'm saying is I think they definitely get more wins than that. I think they're going to have 8, maybe 9 wins when it's all said and done.
Right. And what you've needed is strong, solid, reliable quarterback play. And that's all that Geno Smith has been doing the last couple of years. You want to talk about when we were discussing top 5 quarterbacks earlier on in the show?
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith, numbers-wise, with the ones that even kind of matter,
like
he was up there statistically. You know what I mean? A lot of people, again, don't look at him because, again, it's Geno Smith. But for his career, where it's kind of been up and down with that roller coaster, he's playing his best football that he ever has in his career right now.
Right.
And what you guys have now is quarterback stability, at least in Geno Smith. And now, you know, with the coach in Pete Carroll. So, and with the, like you said, every addition that you had. So going from 4 wins last year, so now they're saying, what, 7.4, 8 wins? Can you win 4 more? Hell yeah. I think you guys can win 4 more. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough division here. It's going to be knockout, dragout.
Right.
But like when we talked about, you know, the fact with Jenty, and I said that at least with this guy, you can just run around him. You know, there you go. It's like your Marshawn Lynch kind of that Seattle kind of had. It's like you can start your offense around him and rely on him, and then the rest will just fall into place.
Difference
and that
with
can
him,
be your thing.
The difference with Jenty, though, is he brings another skill set that Marshawn Lynch wasn't really well known for, is receiving.
Right.
He runs routes like a wide receiver, too. So, like, he's going to be implemented in the passing game as well. So, and then you also got to worry about, like I said, with the tight ends, like, all that. Like, I feel like I'm not going to – I mean, as a Raiders fan, I usually kind of temper my expectations a little bit because I'm like, you know, let's be realistic about it. Like, we're not going to the Super Bowl. We're not going to the championship game. Like, we're better, but let's just get 4 more wins than last year. I'll be happy.
We'll take
some baby steps.
Just like me, Joe, as a Giants fan, like, that's what you mean. Like, when you're bad for so long, too, you're like, just give me this one. This is all we're looking for. I'm little wins. All right, I'm not going high.
I don't want to pick in the high end of the draft. I want to pick somewhere in the middle. just let me do that.
Just let's do baby steps here, and then we'll grow from that, right? I get it. All right, so down to the last 3 teams here, bottom tier of the AFC in win totals by Caesars Sportsbook here and their win predictions. The Jets at 6.2 wins here. So.
Man.
Again, the Jets, I think last year, did they have 4 wins, I think? 5? They had 5 wins last year. I was thinking with Justin Fields, it could be 6, but maybe they could do another 2, I think 2. It all depends on how he plays with this team. And I think Aaron Glenn being there, I think, is definitely another kind of boost to this team. Adds another kind of swagger that they had before, even with Robert Saleh early on. But Justin Fields has kind of been that up-and-down type of player. It's like he's got a lot of physical attributes that work for you, you know, can scramble, can make some plays, but very inconsistent play, though. So what are we getting? Are we getting the guy that was pretty good over there with Pittsburgh, but really couldn't turn it over, you know, and really get that scoring going to the wide receivers? Like,
you're basically
Garrett Wilson gets,
you know, Fisher Price version of Lamar Jackson. That's what you're
getting.
You're getting
Fisher
Price, Lamar Jackson, who, if the team is down and they need to throw, it's not going to go well.
No.
So, I've kind of, as a football fan, I've been hoping the Jets could turn it around. Just like the, like Jets fans, they've been in the losing category for so long, they don't even remember what it's like to win. So, I'd like to see them do well, but I'm just not all in on Fields. I don't think he's a starting caliber quarterback. Don't get me wrong. With his running ability, that's really what saves him. More than Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson to me is a better quarterback, hands down, than Fields. So I'm gonna go low because as much as I want to say higher, I don't know. There's gonna be some games where he's not gonna be able to come out on the winning end.
Yep. And like I said, you've got a lot of tough teams in this conference right here. So getting down here to the last two, the Tennessee Titans, even though, again, go and draft Cam Ward, some people think, again, he's going to turn this franchise around. I don't think it's going to be that quick, though.
In 3 years.
But, yeah, 5.8 wins here for the Titans.
What'd they win last year? They only
last
had what?
Last year they had two? Three.
Three?
Three wins. That's right. They were the worst. They had the number one overall pick this year.
I'm going to say low.
Low?
And the reason why I'll say low is because he is a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks typically don't come in and have Jaden Daniels-like seasons. There is a learning curve, you know, coming at this level. He's going to make mistakes. The Titans, he's actually coming into an organization that has done a lot of work in reforming that offensive line in front of him, so that's one good thing. But I just don't think they have enough weapons, honestly, for him to really count on. I like the backfield. I just not crazy about all the receiving options. So I just don't think he'll have a great year. I think it'll be a learning experience for him. But again, this is going to be a work in progress. Let's wait 2 years down the road when they really kind of turn this roster around and then kind of revisit the conversation.
Yeah. And I think they did their most work on defense to try and fix a little bit of holes they had there. But offensively, like you said, don't really have, like, their weapons. You know what I mean? They get Tyler Lockett. I get that. That's good. But then you've got Calvin Ridley and Van Jefferson, which they're good. But I don't think, again, anybody turning it, you know, over to the top here for them. And Tony Pollard, again, at the running back situation. They're a building team. And, again, if they can do something in this division, it's going to be a tighter division. I mean, because just like what we said with the AFC East, I think it's Houston's division to lose. I mean, they should be able to take this one. And then the other three, duke it out, see who the hell comes out of that. I don't know. I don't know who's coming out of that battle with those ones, so. But this is the division that some people are going to pick on. That's what I mean.
Right.
You know? So, I'm 5.8, three more wins maybe. I'm going to go low too as well. And then finally here, last, they've got the Cleveland Browns, you know, at the bottom of the barrel here with this one.
That is one big pile of shit.
And with the multiple quarterbacks that they have, Joe, you know, it's no surprise that, you know, that they're in this situation here. And it's kind of funny that when we talk about franchises and decisions that they make, losing out on franchise quarterbacks, how a franchise can be bad but still draft a good quarterback and ruin their situation with still having a good quarterback. And Baker Mayfield was a good part of that is because they brought him there. They had him there, and they still couldn't figure it out, or this didn't stick with him. He goes on to other places and excels, and now here they are again, like you talked about it, still looking for a quarterback now. When you had one, had one, and you
and all they had to do was build around him. They decided the knee-jerk reaction was like, well, they don't believe in him, so they move on, and now they're still sitting here years later and still haven't found the guy for the future. But I mean, they're in a hell of a lot better situation than Pittsburgh right now. I mean, they signed Joe Flacco, they trade for Kenny Pickett, and they draft not one, but two quarterbacks that could end up being the future. So they got four guys that they got four options there. They're gonna have a tough decision when it comes down to cut day on who they're gonna exactly cut and move on from. Maybe they do cut Flacco just because he's older and he's only gonna be there for 1 year or whatnot. Or maybe they're like, well, he's the experienced guy, been there, done that. And maybe we cut one of these other younger guys. Maybe the guy that we just traded for, Kenny Pickett. Who knows? So, can't wait to see when that happens. But one of our very own, Mike Tackett, is in the house. Part of the Blitz Nation. He goes, I know we're a year out still, but could you imagine Cam Ward throwing to Jeremiah Smith? Yes, I can imagine that, actually. I mean, that's pretty easy to imagine. Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State would be a phenomenal addition to Tennessee, and for Cam Ward, having that kind of a young weapon to grow with would be crazy. But yeah, that would be an amazing addition for them if it was to happen. Mm-hmm. He also said that I have three concerns for Genty: pass protection, fumble prone, and his heavy workload from college. Basically a heavier Donald Pumphrey. I don't have a concern with his fumbling issue because I believe that the coaching staff is going to work with him on kind of addressing that and taking care of that issue. Pass protection, again, there's a lot of ways to get around that. If he can't, and I'm sure he's capable of learning and training and becoming better at it. But again, workload is probably my only concern. Had a lot of carries in college. Sometimes there's a little bit more wear on the tire, and now you worry about, well, how much longer can he go in the NFL, being more physical, a higher end of football? Is it going to be 3 years and then he's done? Is it going to be, you know, or is he going to defy the odds and keep going like Derrick Henry? So we'll see. We'll see. Those are all good points, by the way, Mike. He also said he's got Flacco. The depth chart in his mind is Flacco, Pickett, Sanders, practice squad, and Dylan.
Yeah, and Dylan. Yeah,
I don't think so, man. I'll tell you right now, Dylan Gabriel's turning some heads. You know, he's actually outperforming Sanders at the moment. So Sanders is right now fourth on the depth chart, by the way.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Sanders has done some good things and some bad things, just like we expect all these rookie quarterbacks to do. So, but I think it's a interesting dynamic. And this is probably the first time I've witnessed a team sign a veteran quarterback, trade for a younger but experienced quarterback, and then drafted not one but two quarterbacks in the draft to kind of fulfill
right.
the need.
Right.
So, we'll see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, again, we've seen the ownership get involved in the draft, too, with this team before. I'm wondering if that was part of it.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
because
that's what it's got to be, right? Because
they've been denying
what you said.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
But dude, it
points right out I'm at sorry. It. Because like, there's no way you're planning to do that.
When you look at the camera in that war room, when that pick was made for Shador Sanders, the GM and the coach was not happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They weren't clapping their hands and, yeah, all right, we got our guy. No, I really think that was the owner saying, I want Shador Sanders. Let's make the pick. And they were like, we don't need to. We took Dylan Gabriel. No, I want Shador.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're the boss.
Yeah, whatever you say, boss. You know, and that's what sucks is when you have issues too. If you're there and you're getting paid to do a job, but you want to overstep me and do my job, you don't trust me enough. Why are you paying me to do this then?
Jim, Jim Haslam, next time stay home during the
game. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe. So there you go. There's the win totals for the AFC. It took us a while to get through it, but we had a lot of good conversations out there. We definitely appreciate everybody out there following along with us too. All of our peeps out there and Rumble, Twitter or X now. Sorry. X. YouTube, Facebook out there. So we definitely appreciate you guys out there watching us, and also anywhere you get your podcast too out there too. If you guys listen to us on Spotify, and you can also check us out Pandora and all that stuff too. Joe. Again, ready to send us out on this one?
Thanks, Mike Tackett. for chiming in and dropping some comments down below. Really appreciate you, bro. You are the MVP in our eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for the rest of you guys, and if you've lasted this long, we really do appreciate it. Or you're just chiming in, help us further support the channel over at Dumpage Media. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up. Do the damn thing. Share it. You know the drill. You know what you're doing. We'll see you guys in the next one.
All right, guys. That's it for us. And like Joe said, we'll see you guys in the next one.